Yep. Good morning, Kairos. It's good to be with you this morning. As Ryan said and Joe said early in the service, my name is Steve Allen, and I've been in the Atlanta community as the chaplain at the Lovett School for 27 years, and my wife Sue and I have been coming to Kairos for about 2 years. So I'm honored to be able to be with you today. We've been out of town for a couple of weeks at some weddings and on family vacations, so it's good to be back and good to be with you. I'm going to begin by sharing a few passages. The first are some Proverbs, come out of the Old Testament. I'm going to read four of them before I read the New Testament passage from Mark. Listen to these words from the Old Testament. Let your foot be seldom in your neighbor's house, lest he have his fill of you and hate you. Proverbs 25:17. Do not plot harm against your neighbor who lives trustfully near you. Proverbs 3:29. It's a sin to despise one's neighbor. Proverbs 14:21. And a man who bears false witness against his neighbors is like a war club or a sword or a sharp arrow. Proverbs 25:18. It's not looking good for neighbors. And then from Mark chapter 12, one of the scribes came near and he asked Jesus, which commandment is the first of all? Jesus answered, the first is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So not too long ago, I was having some work done at my house, and the workers dropped off the construction materials in my driveway. Shortly thereafter, a neighbor came by just to make sure I knew that the construction materials were not supposed to be in my driveway. He was being nice, but I'm pretty sure he was irritated at this big pile of construction materials that sat there for actually a couple of days before the workers actually got there. A couple of days later, that same neighbor sent me a text after the work had begun on a portico over our front steps, and he was a builder. He's retired, but he's a builder in the neighborhood, and I think he just wanted to let me know that the posts weren't equidistant from one another, and he thought it would just be a good thing that I knew that. I'm sure he was trying to be helpful, but I think he was annoyed with the project. Not long after that, my next door neighbor came over to let me know that the tree in my yard was growing into our fence. He said he was concerned that the tree would damage the fence. He said it with a smile, but I'm sure he was frustrated that I'd let this tree grow, and he wanted me to do something about it. You seeing a pattern here? I'm having trouble with my neighbors. But to be fair, they're having trouble with me too. So I think it's, you know, kind of a mutual relationship. There's an app you may have read out there called Next Door Neighbor. Maybe some of you have seen it. It's a place where people can post thoughts and about what's going on in the neighborhood. And these become sort of famous for neighborhood rants, such that there's an app now called Best of Next Door Neighbor. So I thought I'd share a couple of these with you. Stolen meat between 0330 and 0500, who refers to time in that way. This morning, someone stole our pork skins off our smoker. My husband had been up every hour checking on them. He was very disappointed at 0500 when he checked them and they were gone. We live right off Blackburn Park. I wanted to put a message in the neighborhood site so everyone can be made aware. It upsets me to know that someone could be so mean. However, and this is the part I love, I'm not surprised. Eyesore. If you want the ugliest yard in the neighborhood, just put up Halloween decorations. Simple. What kind of modern society wants to see dead bodies and such? I wish some people would grow up and have some class. We are better than this. And then Sarah. Stop feeding crows bagels. They aren't eating the bagels you're giving them. They are stashing them in my tree. And it's raining bagels at my house. And then lastly, COVID. Despite what many people appear to think, you cannot catch the coronavirus by picking up your dog's poop on the green belt. And then again, the best part, thank you. Apparently, my neighbor and I are not the only ones that are struggling to get along. Neighbors seem to be annoying each other pretty much everywhere. In fact, I've found that neighbors have been annoying each other for thousands of years. And how do I know this? Just consider the passages that I read this morning from the book of Proverbs. I'll read them again. Let your foot be settled in your neighbor's house, lest he have his fill of you and hate you. Do not plot harm against your neighbor who lives trustfully near you. It is a sin to despise one's neighbor. A man who bears false witness against his neighbor is like a war club or a sword or a sharp arrow. Now, when I think of neighbor, typically, I think good thoughts. I mean, I think Mr. Rogers might have something to do with this. You know, won't you be my neighbor? It's got a nice little, you know, syrupy sweet idea to the word, you know? It's got a nice ring to it. So why is it that the Bible has so many verses like this? Who are these neighbors who inspire such anger and resentment? Would understand that, it helps to know who we're talking about when we use the word neighbor. The word neighbor in both the Hebrew and Greek was referring to people we're close to, not just people you live next to. Yes, that's true, people in your neighborhood, but it's more than that. They're people in our orbit. That's what the word was implying when it was using the word neighbor, people with whom we cross paths. The word neighbor doesn't just mean the people you live next to. It can be people you work with, people you live with, people you eat with, people you socialize with, people you go to church with. These texts are talking about people we interact with every day. How strange then that the Bible would feel the need to call us to stop hating them, to stay out of their houses, not to despise them, not to bear false witness against them. How odd that Jesus would feel the need to tell us to love these people who are our friends and closest companions. Why the need to say that? How odd. And yet perhaps it's not odd at all. Perhaps it's not strange at all. I wonder if the reason the Bible has so much to say about loving our neighbors is because these are the people who are in fact hardest to love. These are the people who annoy us the most. A few months ago, actually back in December, I went to visit my sister. She lives in Kentucky. I'm the closest drive to visit her, so I try to go every Christmas and drive the 5 hours there and spend a few days with her. Unfortunately, often when I'm there, she will take the opportunity to unload about the people who've wronged her. And who are these people? Well, they're our parents. They're our sister. But her anger doesn't stop there. She's mad at people in her town. She even recounts stories of people, friends from her past, people who've treated her poorly in college, in high school, even elementary school. And when I leave, I often reflect on this. What's that all about? And one of the things I realize is that the people who've hurt her the most are the people, and the people who she's annoyed with the most are the people that she's been the closest to in her life. Now, before you think my sister's an awful person, she's not. I love her a great deal. And what I want to say this morning is I don't think she's all that different from us. Take a moment to think about the people who've hurt you the most, the people who irritate you the most, the people who annoy you the most. It's most likely not a complete stranger. It's most likely not somebody that you can call an enemy. In fact, it's probably the people you know and associate with the most. You'd think one of our greatest concerns in life would be our enemies, people who threaten our very survival, you know, like thieves, criminals, terrorists, for goodness sakes. These are the people we should be worried about in life. But the people who anger us the most, the people who present us with some of our greatest challenges in life, are the people we're closest to. It's most likely a colleague, a family member, or a friend. Consider this. The word enemy is mentioned 106 times. I didn't count them all. I looked it up. The word enemy is mentioned 106 times. But interestingly, consider this. The word neighbor is mentioned 107 times. I don't think that's an accident. What this suggests to me is that it's just as important. In fact, it's slightly more important that we figure out how to love our neighbors as opposed to our enemies who we will rarely ever see or have contact with. Perhaps this is why when Jesus was asked for the greatest commandment, he didn't say love your enemies. I mean, he does say love your enemies at one point, you know, in the Gospels. But that's not what he says when they ask him for the greatest commandment, which is kind of interesting, right? He doesn't say love your enemies. He says love your neighbor. There is no commandment greater than this. After listening to my sister and after dealing with my neighbors, I think I know why this is the greatest of all commandments, because there's nothing harder than loving the people we come in contact with and see every day or every couple days or every couple months in our lives. I wonder if perhaps our greatest challenge of living peaceful, loving, faithful lives is learning how to live in relationship with the people we see the most, the people we know the best, the people we share our lives with, the people living near us, the people living with us, the people sitting in the pews next to us at church. So I know there's this series that's going on here on the film Inside Out. If you haven't seen it, see it. My wife and I decided this last week to go see Inside Out 2. So in order to do that, I had to rewatch Inside Out 1. And so last Tuesday we went and saw, after watching 1, we went and watched 2 last Tuesday. And I love each of the characters who represent the emotions of the main character, Riley. But I have to say, my favorite character, hopefully is up on the screen, it's this guy. I think I love him most because I can identify with him the most. He's the guy who's not going to get walked over. He's the guy who's going to put his foot down. He's the guy who's not going to be a pushover. And this is the emotion I, and perhaps some of you, wrestle with as well. This is the emotion that wants to come out when somebody cuts us off on the highway. This is the emotion that wants to come out when someone takes advantage of me, when my kids take advantage of me, when they take advantage of my wallet. This is the emotion that wants to come out at work when someone says or does something that's disrespectful to me or rude. This is the emotion that wants to come out when I'm tired and hungry or scared or anxious. This is the emotion that wants to come out at the guy living next to me or the neighbor living across the street when he tells me something he doesn't like. This is the emotion that makes me want to go, if you've seen the movie, you know, that's the emotion that wants to come out first. This is the emotion that wants to come out at my sister when she's gone on and on about our mother. This is the emotion that wants to come out about my mother when my sister's gone on and on about her. This is the one that wants to come out about my in-laws, my students, my friends. And this is the emotion that gets me and perhaps some of you in the most trouble. Anger. It can ruin the relationships that we need the most. It can lead us to do things we shouldn't have done, say things we shouldn't have said, write things we shouldn't have written, to post things we shouldn't have posted, to stonewall and eliminate people from our lives who've hurt us, maybe from the past or from the present. Anger can lead us to embarrassing, regrettable, unfortunate behaviors, behaviors that damage the relationships we have with the people who are closest to us, our neighbors. And what does less anger look like in our lives? I mean, I could list off a million different things, but it's always different, and it's particular to you and your situation. But I have an idea that less anger means more grace, more forgiveness, more love. Perhaps this is why the greatest commandment is to love the people we're closest to in life, our neighbors. We took a family trip a couple weeks ago to Banff up in Canada. My young adult children and went. We took everybody up there, had a great time. But we were on a hike, and my 25-year-old daughter was having a moment. And all I can say is she didn't really want to talk to anybody. And it was becoming very clear that she didn't want to talk to anybody. And it was starting to sort of rattle people's cages, including mine. And, you know, I was like, okay, I'm walking on this path, hiking in this beautiful landscape, and I'm like thinking, okay, that's it. You know, she needs to stop this right now, and I'm going to put my foot down, I'm going to walk up to her and say, you know, I paid for this vacation. And you're going to talk to your sibling. You're going to talk to us. And I'm thinking all this in my head. I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do and how I'm going to say it. And blah, 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 blah. I'm just, yeah, little guy. But I said a silent prayer. And I fought the urge to react. I fought the urge to react out of anger. I get emotional talking about it. Because my daughter came up afterwards and said, Dad, I'm sorry. I didn't have to react. I didn't have to do anything. She came to me and apologized. She apologized to everybody. And it was powerful. And I'm so thankful I didn't let that little red guy win the moment. I'm so thankful because I'm pretty sure it would have only negatively affected someone whom I love deeply. So I came across this statistic the other day. The average person knows 600 people. I don't know if that's true or not, but the professor was a professor of statistics at Columbia, so it must be true, right? But let's say it's not, let's say it's double that. Let's say it's triple that, quadruple that, doesn't matter. The point is this. There are 7.7 billion people in the world, which means there are 7,499,999 billion people you don't know. Those people, even if the professor was off by many hundreds, let's just go back to the number 600. These are the people that Jesus was calling us to love the most. And I think it's because Jesus knew that these were always going to be the people that we struggle to love the most. And it's not likely somebody you don't know. It's somebody you socialize with, live with, and have association with. Love your neighbor. It sounds sweet and simple, but it's one of the hardest things we'll ever do. Learning how to love the people who are closest to us is perhaps one of the greatest challenges we will face. So if we want to improve our lives and our faith, we should be less worried about some nebulous stranger who might break into our homes and steal our things. Instead, perhaps we should set about trying to improve our relationships with the people we see every day. So this week, I invite you to join me, I'm working on this, as we build a bridge to a better relationship with the people who are bugging us the most, the people we need the most. Our neighbors. Amen.